You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello and welcome back to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Justina Patterson.
And I'm Caroline Jens.
And we're excited to be here today, as always.
Super excited today. Love our topic.
And we're Caroline, what are we going to be talking about?
We are going to be talking something that's near and dear to my heart and a topic I'm very pumped about. It's called Handling Stress and Ways to Deal with Health and Wellness in Our Personal Lives and in Our Workplaces.
Woof. That's a big topic.
It is a big topic, and there's so many different pieces to it, but I think we've got a really great guest today that's going to help kind of navigate the topic. I was actually just listening to a podcast this morning on something similar, and maybe we can actually put the podcast link in our podcast description.
Sure, I'm making a note.
Perfect. But it was the speaker was talking about the ripple effect if we're not right, you know, as individuals, and how if we're not paying attention to those warning signs in our health and wellness and how that will affect other people around us. So that was a really good podcast to listen to this morning before we start today. Just because I've been on this kind of like health and wellness journey, and actually I had a failed attempt last night trying to make some healthy peanut butter cookies.
Whoops.
Yeah, it did not turn out good. I thought they were going to be amazing, but instead they tasted like peanut butter chalk.
Ugh. You know my aversion to chalk.
I do. That's why I said it.
Well, I can't even think about it. I can't even talk about it.
Chalk.
Did they crumble or did they just not taste good?
So they look amazing. They look like real peanut butter cookies, but they tasted like nothing.
Did you not put enough peanut butter in them?
I did, but I used like a healthy kind of peanut butter. I don't know.
Well, you maybe instead of just for health reasons, instead of a peanut butter, you should just use like a nut butter, like an almond butter.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been, because almond butter is like better for you than peanut butter, you know, with sugar content and that sort of thing. Maybe, and it still, I think it still tastes like peanut butter. Maybe that would have been a better option. Like, what is this healthy peanut butter you speak of?
I don't know. I don't remember the brand, but I know that it doesn't do well in peanut butter cookies.
Does it taste like peanut butter normally? Does it taste okay?
Yeah, it does taste like peanut butter. But I just think I got too courageous. So I've never been good at baking. And recently I made an almond cake, like a healthy version of an almond cake. And it was amazing. Like I ate it every day for breakfast. It was so good.
So you thought to yourself, like, yes, I can bake now. I can do anything.
Exactly. Not the case. My husband was like, okay, no more peanut butter cookies. That is not allowed back in here.
And I feel like in my head, in the grand scheme of things, if you're talking about cookies, I really feel like peanut butter are like the healthiest version. So just make normal ones.
Right.
I mean, obviously we know there's like tons of sugar in there and whatever, but if you want a peanut butter cookie,
right,
you just eat a peanut butter cookie.
I know. I was going to try to rectify them by making some kind of like chocolate mousse or something to kind of put over the top with it.
So you thought, as someone who you self-admitted is not a baker, should make a chocolate mousse to put on top.
Yeah.
A Greek yogurt and like whipped cream part, like mixture would have been far easier than a chocolate mousse to rectify the situation.
Well, I think I'm going to avoid it altogether. And honestly, hopefully our guest today is going to give us some really cool ideas about snacks. What do you think?
Let's hope so.
Awesome. Well, let's introduce our guest. Today, we're super excited to have Jennifer Schmidt here with us. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait to hear more about these peanut butter chalk cookies you're speaking of.
Great. The whole conversation today is going to be revolving around my peanut butter cookies.
I mean, do we need to share the recipe in the write-up so people, other people can try it and be like, yep, these are bad?
Actually, that would be a really fun kind of a challenge at the end.
To make the cookies, see if they taste like chalk?
Right. Who can make the best healthy peanut butter cookies?
Okay. Let's do that. In the description on our website of this podcast, we're going to link the recipe for these healthy, quote unquote, peanut butter cookies. And we want to hear from you if you try and make them and if they taste like chalk.
And I'll take a picture of my cookies. And when you guys make your cookies, take pictures and share them with us.
Okay. That's going to be the plan. And we're going to see if you just used the wrong kind of peanut butter or what happened.
Okay. Challenge is on. All right. Let's get back to our guest.
Now that we went down the peanut butter cookie rabbit hole.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Jennifer's background. So I'll read her bio and then we can dive into our topic.
Let's do it.
Perfect. So after going through her own drastic transformation, losing over 70 pounds, that's 70, holy cow, Jennifer became passionate about helping people understand the importance of their health and well-being. It was after that transformation in 2015 that she became a certified trainer through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Since her certification, she works at a boot camp style gym, helping others transform their health. It is also that passion that makes her continue taking courses and classes for different certifications to further her knowledge in the fitness field. Fitness and health continues to be her life motivation. And on a personal note, I used to go to the boot camp that Jen was a trainer at, and I have witnessed her in action. And the only reason I don't go there now is because now I'm in Florida. So I don't get to see Jen's pretty face anymore.
Super sad.
I know. But Jen, so you are super inspiring and encouraging. I know we're probably going to talk about this a little later in the podcast, but I am part of your Facebook group and you bring a smile to my face every day by the things that you post and your attitude, and you're just really a blessing to know.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel like that's what a lot of people do enjoy about me, is that I'm relatable. I'm not somebody who was a trainer from the get-go. I'm somebody who became a trainer because of my situation. So,
yeah, that's really relatable is and believable. Like you're all that. I don't feel like you're putting on a show. I feel like you're just really who you are. You're being transparent, and I appreciate that so much. One thing your bio did not include, and obviously this is a childcare show, but you do have a background as an assistant director at a childcare center. So you can, you know, relate to that busyness and the craziness of everyday childcare life, right?
Yeah, correct. After graduating college, that was my first real-time full job working as an assistant director at a daycare. But prior to that, I worked as a lead teacher in some classrooms for several years. So I know the childcare center morale and the busyness and craziness of that management is definitely a ball game changer for the amount of stress that you deal with and have to incur to keep that center functioning.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you have that background and that experience, and you'll be able to kind of tie in the health and wellness to your past experiences, just knowing our industry. All right. So about you, you mentioned, or I read in your bio that you had this drastic weight loss transformation. Again, it was 70 pounds. And so first of all, congratulations. That is a huge accomplishment. And you know, I've just losing 1 pound, I'm super excited about. But 70, that's amazing. So what made the decision for you to commit to that change, you know, to keep yourself going after you hit a plateau, to keep yourself motivated?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me say it wasn't easy. It's not something that I just woke up one day and said, oh, I think I'm going to lose 70 pounds today. I mean, it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not a quick fix. It's small, consistent changes day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And it's still a work in progress. It's not something that I lost the weight and now I can just quit, because that did happen. I did kind of give up on things a little bit and then the weight comes back. So it's something you have to consistently stay with. But after having some health struggles with my pregnancies, you know, I had to make the decision that if I wanted to be around to take care of my children and be a better mom, it was something that I was going to have to do for myself. So my whole reason of the health and wellness journey began because of my family.
Well, and obviously making like that sort of drastic change and transformation like that isn't easy, like you mentioned. So how do you start? Like you said, you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to lose 70 pounds. Like you said, it's small changes. Like what were some of the first steps that you took to start on your journey that were easy for you and easy to keep up with? Because I feel like sometimes when people are on that journey, they get discouraged if, you know, you eat really healthy one day and you're like, well, not skinny yet.
Right.
You know, so like that can be really discouraging, I feel like, for everybody when you don't see those changes. So like, what did you do to start?
Sure. So I started by doing some goal setting and setting some goals of what I was going to do to try and accomplish that task of losing weight. Because at the time, I didn't have a set number. I just wanted to get healthy. So I set some goals for myself, something that was small, attainable, but yet challenged myself. So then once I set those goals, I had to find a place that I could go to work out. I needed that accountability. So I found a small local gym where I could exercise. And then I started paying more attention to the food that I was eating, cutting out some of the sugar that I was eating, stopped drinking the soda, focusing on some of the mental wellness aspects of really caring for myself first. And it, of course, it didn't come off right away. And so that does get discouraging. And so you just have to keep pushing through and knowing that you got to stay consistent in the consistency of day after day, week after week, month after month is what gets you there. And then just remembering why you started when you're having a bad day or when things aren't going your way or when that scaled number isn't changing. I've thrown out my scale. I don't like to step on the scale because for me, it becomes a fixation.
Right.
So you have to find what works for you. Is it like how you feel, how your clothes fit? Just like looking at yourself in the mirror. Do you like what you're seeing, that type of thing, versus like what that number is on the scale?
Well, and I guess really numbers can be deceiving.
Very true.
You know, everyone's like muscle weighs more than fat. So like, If you're actively working out, you're probably burning fat but gaining muscle. So those numbers might not be changing how you'd like them to. And I think that that can be like super demotivating. Is demotivating a word? I don't know. But that could be like a totally like a journey stopper for some people to be like, oh, well, the numbers aren't changing in my direction. I'm just going to give up.
Yeah. Usually we tell people that you're going to probably gain weight before you lose it, just because that muscle does weigh more. So you may not see those numbers go down versus you may see them go up at first, but you're going to notice other pieces. You know, your energy is going to be more, you might be able to sleep better. You're just not going to have that mental fatigue during the day type of changes that you'll see more so than that scale number.
Well, do you have any advice for someone that maybe wants to make a change but is having a hard time starting or staying motivated?
I would say dig deep into why you want to change and make that change in your health. Like, what's your reason behind that? You have to have a major motivational reason. Otherwise, it's just going to be a want, not something that you need to do for your own.
I know that personally for me, one of the reasons that I've been on kind of this health and wellness journey recently has been for energy. You know, just making sure I have the energy to devote not only to my business, but to my family. And that's kind of been like my driving force, my like mindset shift that I've made.
Good.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the major things that people say is they don't have any energy.
Yeah.
So, you know, through all this, obviously you had this big transformation and your transformation became your passion. So can you talk about why that has become your passion?
So it's truly become a passion of mine because without your health, you have nothing. If you aren't healthy, you can't function. if as a management of a childcare center, if you can't be healthy, you can't give in to your staff and help run your center. So without your health, you have nothing. And that health is your physical health. It's your mental health. It's your spiritual health. It's all of that mind, body, soul health. It's not just, you know, one gear. It's not just fixing your physical health, because you can physically get healthy, but still mentally not be healthy. So it's coming together and making that, all of those pieces of health come together. And so that's what we try and focus on, is your entire health.
You know, we talked kind of about your transformation. Now this has been your passion. So what are you doing to motivate people today to keep them exercising and eating healthy and being healthy mentally and spiritually?
So Caroline briefly mentioned this before. I have a Facebook group where I have a community of like-minded people who are looking for tips and tools and tricks and just that accountability to help them rewrite their story of changing their health and happiness.
We're going to, not to interrupt, Jennifer, but we're going to link that Facebook group in the description on our website of this podcast write-up, just in case anyone wants to join.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. We're always looking for more people who, you know, I can't say I'm an expert at everything in health. So sometimes, you know, I have friends in there who are yoga teachers, so they'll pop in and do some yoga. I have a holistic practitioner in there who does acupuncture, so occasionally she pops in and gives some tips too. So we just try and like to tag team, you know, people who want better health and want to be happy in their life. That's the kind of type of people we like in our group, and to see our group grow so that we can keep spreading the health and happiness in the world.
Do you have a question? Because I have a question about what she just said.
No, I wanted to actually brag on her, because what's really cool about that Facebook group, she does all these different challenges all the time. So it keeps you motivated, because you always have something new that we should focus on.
Oh yeah, that is a good point. I was going to ask, you know, you mentioned a group of like-minded people. How important is it to surround yourself with people that are like-minded like you? I think, you know, obviously if you have someone that's not on the same journey, it's okay. But is it important to surround yourself with people that are kind of in the same mindset that you are? Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. It is totally important to find people who are like-minded. Those are people who you can lean on when you're struggling with, you know, if things are not going well in your journey. Those are people who can help hold you accountable. And they're the ones who can help you with that mindset, because mindset is such a big piece of your health and wellness journey. I have a little fun saying that says, you can have a set of dumbbells, you can have a set of recipe cards, you can have a set of goals, but if you don't have the one set you need, your mindset, you have nothing. So that is such a big piece of this, is that your mindset of like making that decision in your mind and knowing what you want and why you want it.
I feel like she just dropped a truth bomb on us.
You know, I am going to write that down too, because what you just said about, you know, having the dumbbells, even having the gym membership, you know, being a part of the Facebook group, having the recipes. But if your mindset's not right, that's the piece of the equation that's going to help you execute, right?
Yep.
And so why is this, all of this important, Jennifer? I mean, why should we be concerned about all this?
Because like I said, without your health, you have nothing. If you can't be healthy, you can't, you know, be a role model for your parents, for your staff, for your families, you know, for your customers. You can't be who you are if you aren't healthy.
Right. That's so true.
And setting the example that you want in your life.
Now, I know you're a mom, and, you know, obviously your health and wellness is going to affect your children too, right?
For sure. For sure. You know, oftentimes my kids will decide to do a workout in the backyard, and, you know, most kids don't come up with crazy things like that. But when you're a trainer as a mom, they come up with all these fun things to do. But then they also take that piece of, oh, I probably shouldn't eat that, right, mom? That's probably not very healthy for me. So it's just kind of being that positive role model for your children, because as kids grow up, we know that obesity is a huge thing in the world today, you know, people find what's convenient for them, and convenience is not always the healthiest thing. So it's making those choices that are healthy and convenient, and then portraying that to your family so that they grow up with those healthy lifestyles and they don't have to start from scratch when they're adults, having to start all over again.
Yeah, I really love that. And, you know, it's been said, you know, your kids watch everything that you do, and they often turn out to be like their parents. So setting that really good example for them, I love that. And if you just kind of equate that as to a director of a childcare center, you know, if me as the center director, if I am displaying to my staff that I believe that health and wellness is super important, if I'm actually being that role model, that will hopefully then rub off on my team.
Right. It's that ripple effect you talked about at the beginning. It's going to ripple down. And then they're going to portray that in the classroom when they're teaching those young children, you know, having that positive attitude.
It's not only that, though. It's also about, like, when you're healthy as a whole, you know, I think we're using the word healthy as, like, mind, body, everything, not just, you know, physically, whatever. But it also helps you handle stress better. Like, we know in childcare, it's stressful, it's chaotic. And I think a lot of times you get mentally fatigued because it is so stressful. So if you can build up your mindset and your mental, what's the word, mental health?
Resilience,
there you go. It's easier to take that stress and deal with it appropriately instead of it getting you down or wearing you out or burning. Burnout is a huge thing in childcare. So I think just making sure that you're staying and getting healthier in all aspects of your health, including the mind, to build stress resilience is a good thing.
Yeah, one of the things on that podcast that I was talking about earlier was compassion fatigue, because we are in such an emotional industry, and how that will wear you out as a leader, right? Mm-hmm. So you're having to deal with everyone's problems, high emotions, it's, you know, it's young minds, it's teachers, and as leaders, we can become compassionately fatigued, where we just kind of want to check out. We don't want to listen to any more problems. And I've been there. I know that.
I used to tell, I would come home from work and tell my husband, like, I experience every range of emotion today. Like, when I was in management, like, you're happy, you're sad, you can get angry, like, you experience it all. And sometimes half of a day, an hour, like, just because everything's coming at you. And that is exhausting to anybody.
Yeah, it's definitely that roller coaster journey that we go on every day, right?
Right. So we haven't mentioned this yet, but Jennifer also helped us and sponsored our workout at work portion of our leadership subscription box. So that's something that we haven't mentioned yet in this podcast. So
it's like my favorite.
Those of you that are subscribers to the box know that she has provided us information, but she's going to continue providing that information. And each quarter when the box comes out, she is giving us a couple workouts, some stretches, some nutrition tips, some mindset stuff for things that you can do at work.
So wait, you need to back up quick before you go on. What is the director leadership subscription box?
I'm glad you asked. So we know how stressful and chaotic it is to be directors of child care centers. So we created a subscription box that's quarterly that we fill with all kinds of great things. One of them being our 90-day prioritizing leadership journal, which we're super excited about, that allows for to-do lists, things they have to accomplish, fires you have to put out, you know, great ideas, like all that kind of stuff. So you can keep it all in one spot, but there's also places to reflect and write notes and all that kind of stuff in there. And then we fill it with other kinds of really great resources and fun stuff too, because, you know,
it's one of our core values.
Right. So if you're interested about that, you can go to childcarebizhelp.com/leadership for more information. But back to what we were talking about, You know, we mentioned this earlier, Jen, but you have a unique perspective when on working on at work because you also, as we said, worked at a childcare center. So when we kind of approached you to think of ideas on how to work out, we wanted to have stuff that they could do at their desk. So it didn't feel like a daunting task to have to like go to the gym if they didn't have the time or go do something that they couldn't do at work. So how did you think of things that were easy for them to do at work?
Sure. I was super excited because as an assistant director previously, I found myself a lot of the day sitting in a chair, which, wears on those hip flexors. And so I really thought like, this would be a good place to start, is focusing on some simple things that they can do in the day. So one thing was just to get up and walk the halls, like, right, go check in on your staff, see how they're doing. Just get up and walk the halls once an hour, just to get up and get moving, right? We all know that movement of any kind is great. So that was my first, like, let's just get them up and get them moving. That's simple. It's not too time consuming. And it's something that they should be doing anyways, you know, just to check in or see if somebody needs something or, you know, they're giving somebody a break anyways. So they're getting up and they're getting moving. And then from there, I just thought about, you know, like some of the day they're looking at a computer screen. And so let's focus on relaxing and stretching out that neck. So I thought of simple things that they could do while they're sitting at work, taking just a couple minutes, because it's important just to find those little nooks and crannies of time where you can fit it in. So all of the stuff that I've created, you know, the basic squats here that we have in this first box were just things that you can do. Like when you're going to go sit down in your chair, you're just going to practice squatting. So that was my mentality in thinking of these tips and things that they should do for this first box was let's make it easy. Something that they can do in the little nooks and crannies of their time and make it something that's not too boring, if you want to say, but just something that's different in their day to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, I really love your contribution to the subscription box. And then we have a closed Facebook group for our subscribers. And I know you're going to be making appearances in there to keep people encouraged and motivated to continue on their journey of, you know, working out at their desk. So what kind of advice do you have for owners or directors or leaders of childcare centers on maintaining a healthy lifestyle and, you know, being able to work out at work, take care of themselves while they're trying to take care of their teachers and all the children and other responsibilities they have at their center?
So I know for some of the smaller centers, it's probably not feasible to hire a corporate wellness coach, but I know, like even for small corporate accounts around here locally where I'm at, I go into their establishment twice a week and just like have conversations with people. And we do two workouts a week. You know, for the smaller places that may not be feasible, but just finding, you know, something that you can do that you can be consistent with, whether it's just going out for a walk on a lunch break. You know, drinking water and staying hydrated is huge for your health. And it's sometimes that's not easy to do, especially when you're busy plugging away with work. So taking that little bit of a break to take a water drink every once in a while will help.
I have to interject because I think I showed you at the start of our podcast that I've really taken on this challenge to drink more water. And I've got this ginormous water jug. Did we mention this in a past podcast, yeah, Justina?
No, but it is bigger than your head. We have not mentioned it. It's huge.
We should take a picture of this and put a link for people to buy this.
Next to your head?
Yeah. Because honestly, Jen, you bring up drinking water. And I've always known it was important. But lately, you know, especially being out in Florida, you know, it's hot. And so,
okay. It's cold in Wisconsin. We all know that. It's hot in Florida.
It's hot here. Well, you get dehydrated. So it has made a huge difference in my day and in my sleeping at night. drinking water in this new jug that I've got.
Yes.
It has little motivational quotes and it tells you like at this time you should be this way. This much water should have already been drunk. So it's just, it's such a great thing. But anyways, I'll quit interrupting you, but I just wanted to brag on my water drinking.
Yeah, no, it's hugely important. They say like 50% of your body weight should be consumed in water. And obviously some of your food intake has some of that water too. So, but yeah, in water is huge, huge for your health. So some other things, like have an activity during your staff meetings that involves health and wellness, you know, like building up some of that stress resiliency, finding an activity that would work for that. Put together a challenge at your work, you know, a water challenge, a walking step challenge, a sit-up challenge, you know, any kind of challenge like that that's going to be fun and exciting, help people hold them accountable. Send out little emails or texts to motivate your staff. People thrive when they know they're appreciated. Positive reinforcement is huge for mindset. It helps you feel better, and then that makes you feel better as a person. And when you feel better, you want to keep doing better. So
I love that piece. I'm going to interrupt you just on, you know, showing your appreciation for your staff. When you feel appreciated, it makes working so much easier, right? Right, Justina?
I was just going to interject and be like, actually, Caroline is really, really good at that.
Aw, thank you. We actually have just started using Microsoft Teams.
Get out of my head. I was literally just going to say that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You know more about it than I do.
I only know. Well, so they've got these apps in Microsoft Teams where you can put in like your core values. And then as your employees are living their core values, they, you can like send out kudos and like all kinds of different things. And so I've tried to do a couple of things with Justina, like sending her unicorns.
You sent me a praise sticker and I was really excited about it and I was going to send you one back and I couldn't figure out how, but I'll be learning still.
Feeling appreciated and even giving appreciation. Like it brings me joy to give Justina appreciation, and that just is huge for my day, because if I go throughout the course of my day without feeling gratitude or giving, you know, gratitude, it just makes for kind of a crummy day.
Yeah. So just a couple other things, like, you know, volunteering as a staff, like go somewhere and volunteer together, do some team building activities, encourage your employees to feel comfortable chatting with you. If they're feeling, you know, any life struggles, just having somebody that they can talk to about it are all great things. As just some ideas I had for how to incorporate it.
Caroline, didn't one of our clients have someone come in that the staff could like meet with?
They did. Yeah, I can't remember exactly who the company was, but you could schedule a time even virtually. I think it was on the phone. So yeah, that's what it was. It was a 24-hour line that our insurance company offered.
Okay.
And it was like an add-on. Like it was only $5 per employee. And your employees could call this line for like financial tips or, you know, mental wellness type of, you know, kind of real general things that you could call in. Obviously they weren't psychologists, right, but it was a really good add-on to our insurance plan. And it showed our employees that we were really, you know, we were really concerned and wanting to make sure that health and wellness was at the forefront. Do you remember we did a ab class too?
Yes.
That was something I thought.
You were super excited about that.
I was. Jen, you would have been proud of me. Yeah, we held a class 2 days a week, and I just...
Yes, that sounds amazing.
Every week, I would go on the internet and come up with a different, like, ab exercise routine, and we would all get together after work. It was actually in our lunchroom, so we would just bring mats on the floor and, you know, and have our own little ab class. It was awesome.
Well, and that's, like, an easy and basically, it's free thing to be able to offer your staff, like just like a space if they want to do a workout, you know, even if they just YouTube some yoga or something, they, you know, put it on a screen and they can all have a space to just be able to do that there. That's like a really great thing to do. And it doesn't cost anything.
Right. So Do you have any, my sister's really big on this, and I'm just curious if you have any specific recipes in terms of like smoothies.
I have a ton of smoothie recipes. I love making smoothies. I think that almost every day that I make a smoothie, I try and include a new ingredient. So I like using a lot of different vegetables because that's a great way to get vegetables into your diet if you're not a big vegetable person. So I love smoothies. I think they're great for you. And they're super easy. Ooh. Easy, convenient. You could do a smoothie workshop with your whole staff. You know, put 7 days worth and put them in the freezer. And then all you have to add is your liquid when it comes time to making them. So
that's awesome. We should share some.
So I'm going to have a smoothie today now because I'm very thirsty for one. What advice would you give our listeners about how to be consistent with a healthy lifestyle while working and being a parent and all the stuff that comes along with life?
Sure. So like we've said before, in order to have that healthy lifestyle and to make it be more of a lifestyle, it has to be something that's consistent. Start with small, simple things and then build on them. You know, you can't just say like, I'm going to not eat any sugar now ever again. You know, the added sugars there, fruit sugar is always good, but you can't go from saying I'm going to eat whatever I want to saying I'm not going to eat any sugar. So it's just starting out small and simple, saying I'm going to add one new vegetable a week, or I'm going to drink one more cup of water a day. So, and then building on those. So then the next week or the next day, adding on another small, simple thing that you can do. Asking someone to change their whole routine is not going to work. It's going to make it feel daunting. It's going to make it feel like it's too tough and it's too big of a struggle. So, and that's when people give up, when things are too hard, it's too complicated, it's too expensive. So it's just finding those small, simple steps that can be done consistently day after day to make things work. And as a mom, that's the hardest thing because we give and give and give. And I feel like that's true of center directors. We give and give and give, and we forget to take care of ourselves. So that's important. You got to take care of yourselves first so that then you can take care of your staff and then you can take care of your family. And it's true for being a parent too. You know, it takes patience and love and a lot of work to be a parent. And you can't do those things if you're not doing them yourself first.
So truth. You have just been a joy to have on today. Have loved every one of your ideas. I love how honest you've been and transparent. Just even your transformation story, I think, is really motivating. And I hope that encourages some of our listeners. You know, in order to do childcare better, which is what Daycare Overhaul is all about, you know, it has to start with you, which I think, you know, Jennifer, you kind of reinforced that. You have to start small in order for there to be any kind of ripple effect on your team. And I think when we start with ourselves, we immediately start setting an example because people will see that you have more energy. People will see that you're coming to work happier. You know, people will see that you're not as fatigued mentally as you used to. So, you know, I love that. And just setting an example in your, you know, creating that health and wellness culture, really. Mm-hmm. Just great ideas. We really appreciate you coming on our show today. It's been a delight. We're going to have a lot of resources, I think, in our write-up, right, Justina?
I was literally going to say that again. Get out of my head today.
Well, that'll be the last time I get in your head today.
If I can just throw one last piece of advice out there for everybody, it would be take the time to build yourself a solid foundation. Think of when we build a house, the house has to be built on a solid foundation first. The same is true for your health. You have to have that solid foundation and then build upon it. Be positive as much as you can. Write down 3 to 5 things every day that you're grateful for. It's amazing how much that'll change your life. And it's never too late to rewrite your story to health and happiness.
Well, there's that.
Mic drop.
As always, thank you for listening to Daycare Overhaul. We have We're going to have so many good resources in the write-up on our website of the podcast. So you go to childcarebizhelp.com/podcast and you can find today's episode. And all the resources that we've talked about will be here, including the peanut butter chalk cookies that Caroline made. And that's our challenge for you today, is make the cookies and tell us what you think. Follow us on social at Daycare Overhaul. Take us with overhaul win, or I guess overhaul fail, if your cookies also taste like chalk. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, Jennifer. Bye, Justina.
Bye.
Thank you.